Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is toward the end, this story about where Jesus Christ has gone up into the mountain in the evening to pray, and his disciples get into a ship, and they go to pass over on the other side. And in the fourth watch of the night, it says in verse 25, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, what I want to preach about this morning is this, stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith. Because here we have a story about 12 men who were on the boat, and yet only one of them got out of the boat, stepped out in faith, and walked on the water to Jesus. Now, this is an amazing event, not only because of the fact that Jesus did the miracle of walking on the water, but it's amazing that Peter actually had the faith to not only obey Jesus Christ and come on the water, but it was actually his idea to say, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I mean, here's a man of great faith that when Jesus uttered a single word, just come, do you see that? That he obeyed. It said in verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now it says in the next verse, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, that's little faith. And yet he was able to walk on the water because Jesus said, Oh, thou of little faith. Jesus said in another place, If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now, that's pretty small. He said, You'd say to this mountain, Remove thence and to yonder place. And he said, It would be done. You see, God doesn't require a lot of faith. But if we would have a little bit of faith, we could do great things for God. And the Bible shows us here an example of a man who wasn't afraid to step out in faith. Now, you have to stop and think about the story. In order for him to walk on the water, he didn't know he was going to be able to necessarily walk on the water. I mean, he believed that he could. He believed that Jesus was telling him so. But think about taking that step. I mean, there was a certain point of no return where he stepped out of the boat and he's going to sink down or it's going to hold him up. And yet he had the faith to step out of the boat and do it. Now, I don't want to be a spectator in life. I don't want to be one of the 11 who's just sitting on the boat while everyone else is doing great things for God. Everyone else is getting closer to God and closer to Jesus Christ. Everyone else has the faith. And I'm just on the boat, and I'm sure it's more comfortable on the boat. I'm sure it was nice and warm and comfy and safe. But yet the excitement was out of the boat, stepping out on the water to go to Jesus. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You see, today's Christians, in many cases, are afraid to step out in faith. They want everything to just be laid out for them. They want to follow the yellow brick road like Dorothy instead of stepping out in faith and saying, Hey, I'm going to step out of the water to go to Jesus. No, it's not solid. No, it's not something that I can see with my eyes or understand how it's going to be. But by faith, I can see my path before me. You see, we need to learn to step out in faith, to believe God, to take chances, if you will, and not just always want to play it safe sitting on the boat watching everyone else do the work. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, this is the faith chapter, and in verse number 1, the Bible reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, give me some evidence that God created this world. Give me some evidence that there's a God. Faith is the evidence. I'm not going to pull out some fossil out of the pulpit to try to tell you, this fossil proves that God created the world. This fossil proves that the Bible's true. This fossil proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what the Bible says. And I believe that by faith. That is the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But look down at some other people in this chapter. We're not going to go through every person in the chapter, but I want to show you some of the people in this chapter who stepped out in faith. Look at Abraham. It says in verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now, that, the first thing I want to show you is that when you're stepping out in faith, it's always obedience. He said, by faith, he obeyed. About Abraham. Because it's not faith when you dream up something that you want to do or that you think God wants you to do, and then you say, I'm stepping out in faith and doing it. Wait a minute. Faith is when you obey God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter was told by Jesus, come. Now, if he just jumped out of the boat, that might not have been faith. But because Jesus said to him, come, he had the faith to know that he was going to be able to come. And here, Abraham was called by God to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance. He was told to leave his hometown, to leave his family, to leave father and mother, to leave everything that he knew, and to go into a country, and God described this way, which I'll show you. But he didn't tell him where it was. He didn't tell him how far away it was. He didn't tell him what it was going to be like. He just said, I'm going to lead you to a country that I'll show you. And he went out, it says at the end of verse number 8, not knowing whither he went. He did not know where he was going. He had no clue, but he obeyed. It says, by faith in verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles was not, that's talking about tents. He lived in a tent. He didn't have a big nice house. It says, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip down, if you would, to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He never even found that city in his lifetime. He thought God was leading him to an earthly city. It turned out he was leading him to a heavenly city. But he sojourned in the land of promise that would later be the country that his descendants would live in, where the children of Israel would live. But he never even saw the promises in his lifetime. But yet he obeyed. Yet he followed God's commands. Yet he stepped out in faith. And yet today, people don't have the faith to step out and take any kind of a chance. They want everything to be security. And that's the big word today, security. Right? I want to have job security. I want to have homeland security. You know, I want to have social security. Everything is just security, security. Even the name of my company is Anderson Fire and Security. I think I probably should change the name. But anyway, you know, it's all about security, 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 security. We've got to be secure, we've got to be safe. Safety is of the Lord. You're never more secure than when you're obeying God. And even if you're stepping out into a raging sea, you are obeying God, you're secure. You're safe. You don't have to worry about just everything being so secure. You say, oh, you know, I'm afraid to do this and that. I'm afraid to do that. Fear does not come from God. The Bible says God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And yet people won't step out in faith. Here's some examples of stepping out in faith. You know, people are afraid to go soul winning. Have the faith. God's commanded you to do it. God said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says he sent them out two by two. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And yet people won't step out and just take that first step. And that's the hardest part about soul winning, just taking that first step. Just going out for the first time. And then you get out there and you say, hey, this isn't so hard. Piece of cake. Pretty soon, you know, you'll be wanting to do it. But see, you've got to step out and take that first step. Before you see everything exactly what it's going to be, you have to step out in faith. Obviously, getting saved is stepping out in faith. But stepping out in faith to go soul winning. Stepping out in faith to obey the command of God, to preach the gospel to every creature. What about having children? Many young couples today don't have the faith to have children because of uncertain economic times. But the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Hey, you'll not be ashamed when you have faith. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, the Bible says. And if you step out in faith and say, I don't care what, you know, Wall Street does. I don't care what the finances do. I don't care what Obama and the economy does. I believe that if I obey God's command to get married, to have children, to be fruitful, God will bless me and I will not be ashamed. I'm not going to be rich. I might live in a tent, but God is going to bless me for obedience. And yet people, oh, wait 2 years. Wait till the economy turns around. No, have children by faith and God will feed your children. I don't have to sit there and wonder about it. And I remember, you know, my sister was telling me that basically, you know, her husband said to her, you know, one day each of our kids is going to be eating a whole pizza. You know, where's it going to come from? And it's true because, you know, my children are to the point, a lot of them, where they eat almost as much as an adult. You know, and going out to eat is just a really expensive thing. And eating at home is an expensive thing. But, you know, I believe that God is going to provide my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, no, I'm not pumping my wife full of birth control pills. No, I'm not playing it safe, you know. No! Be careful for nothing, the Bible says. Everything's, oh, be careful, be careful, secure, security, safe, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lee, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm not sitting up late, getting up early, sitting up late, eating the bread of sorrows, wondering where my next meal is going to come from. I already know where my next meal is going to come from. God. And I know how I'm going to provide for my children when they're each eating a whole pizza. God will provide those pizzas. Okay? And so, I believe that. And so, you know, people follow the world's advice or liberal Christianity's advice or backslidden preachers' advice to not have children. They're wrong. God said just step out in faith. Don't live in fear. Do what He told you to do. I thank God that I have the blessing of my children. I love my children. I thank God for the blessing that they are. I'm glad I wasn't too scared to have children, you know, because of the economy or because the world's a wicked place. And those are the reasons that sometimes people... But there are many other things where we need to step out in faith. Like you think of Peter stepping out in faith, stepping out under the water. And many Christians don't want to take the step of really selling out for God. You know, kind of going from being on the fringe maybe of Faithful Word Baptist Church to kind of jumping in, right? Jumping out of the boat and getting out there, doing the soul winning, cleaning up their life. Sometimes it can be an act of faith. To throw away your DVDs that are wrong, that you know are wrong, that God has convicted you about, that you know do not they do not honor Jesus Christ. You know, your DVDs, your CDs, and I've known people, they had music that they knew was wrong, and they boxed it up and put it in the closet. And said, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. It's like, well, why are you boxing it up and put it in the closet? Well, you know, because in case they get backslidden, they don't want to rebuy all that stuff, because it's expensive. So they figure, you know, just put it up in the closet, put it away, see how I do. No, you ought to just burn your bridges behind you, my friend, and just throw it out in faith. And you say, well, I just don't know if I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, the Bible says. Don't ask yourself, I don't know if I can. I'm just not sure if I can go so well. I'm just not sure if I can give up some of the sin in my life. Why don't you just do it? Why don't you say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Why don't you step out in faith and burn your bridges behind you and say, I can do, I will do, God is going to help me. If God commanded it, He gives you the ability to do it. And so do what God has commanded you to do. Let's look at some other examples from the chapter, though. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is a great chapter. We saw Abraham, who was an amazing person because he actually just went to a place. He had no idea where he was going. He had no idea what the job market was like. He had no idea what the economy was like. He went to a place that he should have to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, not knowing whither he went, not knowing where he was going. But look at another person. How about Rahab the harlot? Look down at verse number 30, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. This is when Joshua and the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, sounded the trumpets, the walls fell down. It says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So here's a woman of faith. She believed. Now, was she a good example of godliness and morality? She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. Okay, that's a pretty low occupation, wouldn't you say? This is a very ungodly person, and yet she believed, and that's why she didn't perish with them that believed not. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of people in America that are not going to perish with them that believe not by faith, even though they did live a sinful life. Because somebody knocked on their door and preached them the gospel and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and their sins are forgiven. But he says here, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And look at the next phrase. When she had received the spies with peace. Now here's what happened. Let me tell you the story. These two spies from the children of Israel, Joshua sent them into Jericho to spy it out. To check it out. To see how they could attack the city. Because they're going to defeat these people. Well, these two spies came in, and they basically lodged at the house of Rahab the harlot. That's basically where they stayed, okay? Don't ask me why they stayed there, but that's where they stayed. Anyway, they went and stayed there. Maybe they didn't know what she was. Maybe they didn't know what... I don't know. But maybe they were just trying to keep a low profile, so that's where they ducked in. I don't know why. But anyway, they go and basically stay there, and they talk to her, and she says to them right away, she says, I've heard about you guys. She said, I know what's going on. She said, I know how you crossed the Red Sea. I know how you crossed the Jordan River. I've heard about, you know, the Ten Commandments. I've heard about Moses. I heard about all the things that God has been doing. And she said basically that she believed that their God was the true God. I mean, she believed on the Lord. And she told them, she said, you know, I know that you're here to defeat us. I know that you guys are right. I know that you're following the Lord and so forth. And what happened was, they made an oath to her that, you know, we'll make sure that you don't get destroyed. And anyone that's in your house. And so he said, gather all your family and your friends into this house. And anybody who's in this house, because she lodged right on the wall. It was actually built into the wall, as it often was in those days. Anyone who's in your house will be saved. Okay, and they will not be defeated. They will not be destroyed. As long as you don't utter this our business. Well, what happened is while they're over at her place, you know, there's a knock at the door. And basically the cops are at the door. Okay, and they come in saying, you know, where are these two guys? You know, we saw these two guys. We know they're spies. They came in here. She had hidden them on the roof in some piles of flax. Basically under, you know, you picture like a pile of hay or something, you know, and they're basically hidden underneath on the roof, and she tells them, well, there were two guys here, but they left. I don't know where they went, and, you know, I think they went that way, and if you hurry up, you'll get them, you know, and then they rushed off that way, and of course, they didn't find anybody. Okay, now that took some faith to do that because of the fact that when she did that, she's risking herself, you know, because she's aiding and abetting. They probably would have killed her for treason or something if she's helping these spies. And look, if you would, at James chapter 2. You're in Hebrews. Just go a few pages to the right in your Bible. Look at James chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, it says in verse 25, it says, James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and it sent them out another way. That's where she basically let them go, these two messengers. She sent them out another way, not out the front door. She let them out the back door in order to get them out and get them escape. She was helping them. She was putting herself at risk, but not really, because she knew that God was going to bless these guys. She knew that the children of Israel were going to destroy the city because that's what God had said he was going to do. And she believed God's word. She stepped out in faith. She put her literal life on the line. And God blessed her for stepping out in faith. Look, if you would, at Hebrews 11 again. We'll look at another example. There's just a lot of people in this chapter who took some steps out in faith where it seems like they were putting themselves in danger. But they were basically following God's word. Look, if you would, at verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and look at the next phrase, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now the king had made a commandment, he was a very wicked king, to basically kill all of the male children that were born to the children of Israel. And Moses' parents did not fear the king's commandment. They put their own life at risk by hiding that baby by concealing him, and they concealed him for 3 months until it got to the point where he was just making too much noise, it was too obvious, they weren't going to get away with it. That's where they put baby Moses in the bulrushes, you know, in the basket, sent him down the river, and then watched him to see what would happen to him. But you see, they stepped out in faith because they were risking their own life to do what was right and not allow their son to be killed, Moses. Look at the next verse. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And on and on. Men who stepped out in faith, who did great things for God, always were men of faith, because they believed God's word, and therefore they took what the world would call taking a chance, taking a risk. And yet we don't want to take any risk. I mean, stop and think about it. When I came to Phoenix, Arizona 4 years ago to start Faithful Word Baptist Church, I was stepping out in faith because we didn't have a plan. And today, people don't want to start a church unless they have a guaranteed income. And they want to have all these other churches giving them money, and they want to have a guaranteed paycheck just in case they fail. You know, just in case they fail, they're still... No, failure is not an option. When you step out in faith and you step out of the boat, failure means you're drowning. Okay? The Bible, this is what I would define as stepping out in faith or water walking faith. I would define it as this. Either God comes through or I'm through. That's it right there. Either God comes through or I'm through. That's when you've stepped out in faith. And until you can say, if God doesn't come through, then I'm through, then you haven't stepped in faith yet. That's when you've stepped out in faith. And that's how Rahab stepped out in faith. If God didn't come through, she was through. I mean, that's how Peter stepped out in faith. That's how Moses stepped out in faith. That's how Moses' parents stepped out in faith. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. To step out and say, I'm going to go and start a church if that's what God wants me to do. You know, I'm going to start that church, and failure is not an option. If God doesn't come through, then I'm through. I'm not leaning on some... financial support. I'm not leaning on anyone. I'm leaning on God and Jesus Christ alone. And people say, weren't you afraid? It's not going to work. Fear not. Fear not. I'm just afraid that, you know, I'm afraid to start a church because I'm going to fail and then people will laugh at me. Shame on you. They laughed at Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. They shot out the lip and made fun of him and laughed at him and slapped him in the face. Do what's right and don't fear what man shall do unto you or say about you. You see, there are many people that probably should have started churches throughout history that should have went to that city and brought the gospel and knocked the doors and they just didn't have the faith to do it. Or they didn't have the faith to do it, so they leaned on some man-made institution that would pay their bills and pull their strings and form their little denomination. You see, we need some young men in 2010, 2011, 2012 that will step out in faith. And not lean on man, not rely on the flesh, and not fear what man thinks or what man says, and say, I'm going to start a church by the grace of God, I'm going to preach the gospel, I'm going to do it God's way, and if I perish, I perish. Whatever God tells me to do, I'm just going to do it. And I'm not going to fear the outcome. And step out in faith. And not just have it all laid out. You say, well, when you started the church, did you have a plan? Did you have it all planned out? There was no plan. This was the plan. Preach. This was the plan. Go soul winning. And yet today, you got to have it all planned. It's got to all be laid out for you. No, just do it. If God wants you to do it, then do it. Don't worry about, you know, how you're going to be 6 months from now or a year from now. The Bible says, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I mean, God tells us not to look too far into the future. He says, just look right in front of you, what is the right thing to do today? That's all you need to know. For example, it says in Psalms, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He didn't say it's a flashlight, a floodlight that's going to light up the way a mile ahead of you. He said it's a light to my feet. That means I can see the next step that I need to take. Now, I can't necessarily see what's going to be a month from now or 3 weeks from now. But I can see what I'm supposed to do today. I know today I should be in church. I know today I should go out soul winning. I know today I should preach the Bible. I know today I should preach God's Word without apology, without watering it down, without sugarcoating the message. And you say, but what are the results going to be down the road? Doesn't matter. God will lead me to a country that I haven't even seen yet. But at this point, I just need to preach and do what I'm supposed to do and live for God. And that's what you're supposed to do too. Don't try to plan everything out and figure out your whole life. God's Word will light your feet and your path, and you'll know what the next step is. If you're not saved, the next step is to get saved. If you're saved, the next step is to get baptized. You know, if you're a young baby Christian, the next step is for you to get out soul winning. You know, if you've never read the Bible through, your next step is to start reading the Bible through cover to cover. It's easy to see what the next step is. It's difficult to see the whole journey, but you don't need to know the whole journey. All you need to know is that in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. That's all you need to know. You step out in faith, He'll lead you. You step out in faith, He'll guide you. You live in fear, you'll be paralyzed, you'll go nowhere in your life. You could sit on the boat, sucking your thumb with three life preservers on, and you're going to get nothing done for God. Or you could be Peter and step out of the boat and say, hey, I'm going to step out in faith and do something great for God. Now, here's another story. The story of Esther. In the Old Testament, you remember how Esther was the queen. But there was a very, very strict king on the throne who was actually a dictator of pretty much the whole world. I mean, he ruled an empire that had 127 different provinces in it that stretched all the way from Ethiopia to India. So he had this massive, massive kingdom. And his name was King Ahasuerus. And this mighty, powerful king, Esther was his queen. And Esther was not allowed to go see him. It was like, when I want you, I'll call you. Not, she calls him. It didn't work that way. Because this guy was a very powerful man. He was like an emperor of this giant empire. Okay? Well, Esther had found out that her people were going to be destroyed. They were going to be killed through Haman's, you know, machinations and his evil dealings. He was trying to basically slaughter all of her people, the Jews. And what happened is she got wind of it through her cousin Mordecai, who had raised her since she was a child. And she needed to go in and talk to the king about it to stop this from happening. But the problem was he hadn't called for her in a few weeks. And so she knew that there was one sentence that because of this country in Shushan, the palace where they were, that if she walked in and she was not called for, no one was allowed to walk in, just, you know, bust into the king's chamber, or else the penalty was death. Unless the king would hold out to them the golden scepter and basically give them like a pardon for stepping over the bounds and for breaking that law. Well, she told all of her relatives and all of her friends and Mordecai, fast for 3 days and three nights. And pray for me for 3 days and three nights. And I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to pray. And she said, then I'm going to go, I'm going to break the law, she said, and I'm going to step into the king's chamber, which is not allowed. And she said, if I perish, I perish. You know, because Mordecai had preached to her God's word that she needed to do this. It wasn't right for her to just say, well, I'm safe, so I'll let my people be destroyed. I'll let my people perish. I'm safe. I'm cool. I'm not going to get hurt. So she basically stepped out in faith and risked her life. Broke the law. And you remember what he did to the other queen that broke the law? You know, she was thrown out. Vashti, the original queen in chapter 1. And so this guy was a pretty ruthless guy. She walked in. And, you know, God worked it out. God answered prayer to where she found favor in his sight. And even though she busted in and interrupted him, and, you know, embarrassed him in front of everybody and whatever, he held out to her the golden scepter, pardoned her, and she ended up, you know, getting basically her request answered and saved her whole people from being destroyed by the wicked Haman. And Haman ended up being hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. And Haman ended up, the whole thing was backfired. He was destroyed. And so he reaped what he sowed. But Esther had to step out in faith and risk her life. Esther had to risk everything in order to see God perform that miracle and that great victory where everything got turned around on Haman. And it's a great book in the Bible, Esther. But back to Hebrews 11, we'll finish up with this. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, at the end of these lists of all these famous people that we read, you know, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. When we get down to verse number 32, the Bible reads, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions," that's Daniel, "quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You see, God said of these people in verse 38, "of whom the world was not worthy." These were great people. Great men of God, great women of God, all throughout the Old Testament, who did great things for God. They all had one thing in common: faith. That's what they all had in common, faith. And faith is what gets you saved, but after you're saved, the Bible says that we need to live a life of faith. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus told his disciples, "Have faith in God." And you'll never do anything great for God sitting on the boat where it's comfortable. You'll never do anything great for God living your comfortable, perfect, lukewarm life. You can't do anything for God like that. God says, "I would that thou wert cold or hot." And either cold or hot are both uncomfortable. But God doesn't want us just sitting on the sidelines where it's comfortable. God doesn't want us always playing it safe where we always have 6 months' wages in our bank account. You know, who in the world has ever even heard of such a thing? But, you know, 6 months of wages in my bank account, and I've got insurance upon my insurance, and then I have a rider, you know, and then I have an umbrella policy. Am I speaking your language? You know, and I have all this insurance, and I live in a white padded room, and I'm the boy in the plastic bubble because I'm afraid of germs, because I'm afraid of myself, I'm afraid of my family, I'm afraid of losing my money, I'm scared of everything. Step out in faith. Let God lead you. Let God protect you. Safety is of the Lord. God can keep you safe. God can keep you afloat financially. God will lift you up. God can protect you. God can make you walk on water. And so don't live a life paralyzed by fear where you don't do anything for God because you're afraid to. And so you sit on the sidelines and the safe place. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to step out in faith. You say, "I don't know how it's going to work financially." Do it anyway. Say, I don't know how it's going to work, you know, a month from now. Doesn't matter. Who knows what's going to happen a month from now? Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. And you need to just do what's right today, do what's right tomorrow, and let the chips fall where they may. And whatever happens, happens. If I perish, I perish. But God is going to bless those who step out in faith. Always just decide what you're going to do based on what the best thing is spiritually. Whatever God wants you to do, whatever God commands you to do. And don't sit around worrying about all your physical security and safety and all that. Now, again, I'm not saying to just, you know, be stupid. But when you're obeying God's word, you're never being stupid. You see what I'm saying? Like you could say, "Oh, that's stupid to step out of the boat in a storm. You're going to drown." Yeah, it is stupid, except when Jesus said, "Come." Then it's not stupid. You see, it is stupid to throw your financial concern to the wind unless you're obeying what God told you to do. You see, whenever you're obeying God's word, it's never stupid. It's never. Now, the world will look at it and say, you're a fool. You're foolish. The world will look at you and they'll say this: "You're irresponsible. You need a little wisdom, brother." You know? And basically, their term wisdom is just a code word for doing everything with a lack of faith, following man's advice. Wisdom, basically, when they say wisdom, it's usually the wisdom of this world that's foolishness with God. You're never foolish when you're following God's word. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these great examples in the Bible of people who stepped out in faith. God, help it to inspire us so that we don't live the boring, lame, plain Christian life like 99% of the people around us who don't step out and do anything for God. They won't step out in faith. They won't step out of their comfort zone and give people the gospel. They won't step out of their comfort zone financially or spiritually or physically. God, help us to be the few. Help us to be like that great list in Hebrews chapter 11 that gets out of the boat, that gets out of the comfortable, that gets out of the secure, and steps out in faith and says, if God doesn't come through, then I'm through. Help us to have that kind of faith, Father, because I know that that's the only kind of faith that's going to move mountains, that's going to see the multitude saved, that's going to do a great work in 2010. We love you, and in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name we pray.